Welcome to Lisa's Walk the Talk Show, where you'll get a sneak peek into stories and lives behind the authors, entertainers, and celebrities that you love to read about. Sit back, relax, and let Lisa and her guests entertain you. Now, here's your host, Lisa.
Good morning. This is Lisa from Lisa's Walk the Talk Show. And this morning, I have a guest on my show, Dr. Jenna Pajacic, who is going to talk about her brand new debut novel, Particles in the Air. Are you with us this morning, Dr. Jenna?
I'm here, Lisa. Thanks for having me.
You are so welcome. Do you know, just last night, I had one of your colleagues in my store who actually worked with your husband. So I thought
that was kind of fun.
Dr. Wetter. And so anyways, we got to talk about you a little bit and your husband, and he knew a lot of neat things about you. So I give a little plug to the Mayo Clinic here this morning. And that's what my next question is. So you are having a good time writing some medical thrillers now, which I think is the book that you've got is so timely. And do you want to kind of let us know, was it something that you've wanted to do a long time? Have you wanted to write a book? And how has the pandemic, the COVID and other viruses we have going on, kind of made you think about writing a book on this topic?
Yeah, that's a great question. So it's kind of been a dream of mine to write. I grew up just reading and writing and exploring kind of my artistic side. And when someone close to me got sick when I was a teenager, I kind of explored medicine as a career, and I went in that direction and did, you know, pre-med courses and medical school. And kind of in the back of my mind, I always had this idea that I wanted to write a book. So it's pretty amazing that I'm able to actually kind of marriage the right and left side of the brain and come out with this book. It's been a dream come true.
Well, that's awesome. I'm going to be carrying your book in my store. So anybody listening, if they're in Rochester, a lot of people obviously come through worldwide. I'll have either signed or signed book plates, or just the book itself is fine too, at the Star Peacock Books in downtown Rochester. And my store is right across the street from the Mayo Clinic, if you didn't know, Jenna. So if you ever are up here, when you come back, come on in and we'll set up a signing, and I'm sure you'll fill a line out the door with your book and any ones that you write after that. Do you have another book in the works right now, or are you working on something else now?
Yeah, I do. I'm actually working on, Mallory Hayes, book number 2. So the main protagonist of Particles in the Air is Dr. Mallory Hayes. She works for the CDC in Atlanta. And she is going to be appearing in book 2 as well.
So do you see this as being a series then, like an ongoing investigation of different either viruses or things that compromise our health as a public worldwide?
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah, I do see it as a series. I didn't initially plan on a series. It's funny because my publisher, Bruce Bortz, he's been in the industry for decades, and he convinced me. He's like, write the series, and I think he was right. It's going really well.
I think you're going to do really well with this series. One, medical thrillers sell very well at my store, as does anything that's thriller, mystery, history, classics, you know. But new books, new releases, obviously, are what people are looking for, things that are unheard of. I think my best author is actually one of your colleagues at Bancroft Press, I'm sorry, Ellen Paul. I unboxed her book and sold the first one just minutes after I unboxed it. So I think
that's great.
We just have a really good mix of customers. You know, they're looking for new. They're looking for something that isn't the same old, you know, cookie-cutter book. And your book is not. You've got a really neat premise there. And maybe you want to take us into a little bit of Dr. Mallory and some of her things that she deals with the claustrophobia, and how your book is, you know, kind of tied that little detail in to what she's discovered.
Yeah, so Dr. Mallory Hayes, I based her character on a lot of my own experiences in medicine. So it kind of has that, like, perspective, that really realistic perspective there. And I also wanted to make sure my main character wasn't perfect. So none of us are perfect, and she does have some things she's struggling with, like claustrophobia and, you know, air flight anxiety, that kind of thing. So she's not perfect, and she kind of rises above that and uses her ingenuity and determination to kind of like not let anything stop her.
And somewhere along the line, do you want to read an excerpt? And I don't want to put you on the spot, but if you have an excerpt planned, we can do that. Okay.
Sure. So this is actually going to be the prologue. So it doesn't involve Mallory quite yet, but this is just the kind of setting the scene. And the prologue takes place in Mission Beach, San Diego, California. And I'll just read it's just two pages here, so I'll read that. So Emily Williams, prone and relaxing on her beach towel, closed her eyes, her floral cover-up flapping in the breeze. Her book, momentarily forgotten, lay spine up on the sand. The nearly deserted beach was quiet except for the waves lapping the shore. Her reverie was broken by the low voice of her boyfriend, Matt. "It's too cold," he complained. "Let's go." They had been there more than an hour, and his cheeks were flushed from the cool, salty air. She raised an eyebrow without opening her eyes. "You just want to go to my house because my parents aren't home." "Get your mind out of the gutter, Williams," he said with mock innocence. "Maybe I just want to warm up. You have me out here freezing my butt off." Emily sat up and hit him playfully on the arm. "I told you to grab a sweatshirt before we left." Purposely changing the subject, she said, "So what do you think? A 4.1, 4.2? "I was going to say a 4.5, Matt said absently, gazing out at the navy blue water. He leaned forward, pulling his towel out from beneath him, half-heartedly shook out the sand and draped it around his shoulders. Born and raised in Southern California, both Emily and Matt had grown accustomed to the occasional low-magnitude earthquake. So when they felt the mild trembling shortly after their arrival at the beach that morning, they acknowledged it with a shared knowing look. As Emily propped herself up, she vaguely registered that there was something different about the water today. It had receded further out than she had ever seen it. Pieces of kelp and driftwood dotted the wet sand, broken by the occasional glint of a shell. Felt an unexplained spark of unease. Emily picked up her backpack and tossed Matt his waterproof tablet. "Just a few more minutes," she said. "Then we can head back. It's so peaceful out here today." Typically, nearby Mission Boulevard was cluttered with tourists, but the day's chilly gray weather had kept many off the beach. Emily imagined the warm oceanside restaurants and shops, including Sammy's Creamery, bustling today. She was grateful to have a day off from the chaos there. These days, it seemed like all of her free time was spent scooping ice cream into waffle cones for whiny kids with sticky money. She heard it before she saw it, a roaring that swelled in intensity, reminding her of an approaching train. She looked over her shoulder toward the road, her eyes scanning for the source of the unfamiliar sound. When she turned back, the blood drained from her face. The world around her shrank, and all she could hear was the furious pumping of her own heart. An enormous roiling wall of white water barreled toward them. For a moment, she sat frozen, uncomprehending. Then, as if one, she and Matt were both up and running. As she ran, the sound became deafening, and Emily fought the urge to cover her ears. Her eyes locked on the elevated boardwalk ahead, she pushed herself as hard as she could toward it. Suddenly, a freezing hammer slammed into her, knocking the air from her lungs. Her teeth clacked together violently, slicing open her tongue. Her mouth immediately filled with a mix of coppery blood, soap, and salt water. Crushing pain enveloped her as darkness overtook her.
Wow. That's enough to get you interested. And, you know, I know a lot of people skip the prologue. Don't skip the prologue. You need to listen to it and then get into that first chapter and learn about Dr. Mallory. And then we've got the antagonist, Dr. Eric Lindgren. Maybe you want to talk about him a little bit, of how he and Mallory meet up, or how this plot kind of give us a synopsis of the plot. I think that might be enough to make people start lining up for your book here. You've got a great premise. You really do, Jenna. And for sharing that prologue and reading it, I know it's kind of hard to put you on the spot sometimes with that, but you did a really good job on that, by the way.
Oh, thank you.
Want to Yeah, you're welcome. And I know this is probably new to you. This is your first breakout novel, right? I mean, have you published anything else before this one, like just short stories or anything like that?
Yeah, I've never published any fiction. I've had some peer-reviewed articles, medical articles. That's it. So this is my first work of fiction. So it's very exciting, and it is all new to me. But I can definitely give you a little info about the book. It's written from multiple points of view. So it's written from the protagonist to the antagonist to a lot of characters in between. And like we mentioned, Dr. Mallory Hayes is the main protagonist. She's a medical investigator, and she's a committed physician, researcher. She's battling this height, flying anxiety. And when a tsunami devastates the coast of California, so that's the prologue that I was just reading, FEMA establishes a camp to house the tens of thousands of people displaced by the disaster. So the Army is brought in to provide medical services, and Mallory from the CDC is also brought in to prevent the potential spread of disease from contaminated water. So when she's there at the camp, she discovers something far worse than she could have imagined. It's an accelerated HIV-like virus, and a common everyday microbe, which is adenovirus, is proving to be very deadly at the camp. She's called upon to determine the virus's origins, to try to contain the virus, and kind of figure out what's going on.
And how likely is that to happen, say, in the USA? I mean, have you seen in your own personal work, or have you studied, or how did you do your research for this book?
Yeah, that's a good question. So I am a huge proponent of planning and research. I'm very research-oriented. So before I even wrote Particles, I spent weeks researching. I, dusted off my immunology textbooks. I came up with something that is very plausible and realistic. This could absolutely happen in real life. I think the chances of it happening are extremely rare. You would have to have this kind of very unique set of circumstances where you had someone with this, very specialized medical expertise. You would have to have, an extremist and these sorts of things. I think that this scenario would be rare in real life, but it's very plausible. And that's something I've brought up in other interviews and things like that, is this kind of, I've come to see this book as a cautionary tale in some ways. So for years, epidemiologists had been warning the world about a pandemic was just a matter of time. Really, it's hard to predict when it's going to happen, but we knew it was going to happen. So it's something that I think bioterrorism is in a similar way something that could happen as well, and I think people really need to be aware of that. And bioterrorism can be in many different forms. It doesn't have to necessarily be a virus, but it's something that I think the public should be educated about and be aware of.
Do you think you'll write? I know you're working on a book right now, but do you think there'll be other books on, like each book, like a different way that America or the world is attacked through different means of the bioterrorism? Do you think that'll be like maybe a plot for future books?
That's a great question. You've kind of read my mind. But no, I think future books are going to involve Mallory for sure. And she is a CDC investigator that Centers for Disease Control. So she is dispatched to different areas, even of the world. The CDC goes to different areas of the world at times. So I think we'll see Mallory in different situations, working on containment, working on finding the origins of what's going on. It might not necessarily be bioterrorism, but it'll be something that could affect, the world's population.
It's scary. I mean, even just taking COVID, and I'm sure you've seen many, many people, and maybe dealt with it yourself and your family. I had a gentleman in from the CDC at the store, I don't know, maybe 2-3 months ago, and we were talking, and I said, what's your plan for, people that stayed home and have stayed home? I know many, many people that are still have not even been out in 2.5 years. And then they come out and they get hit with all kinds of super viruses, kind of like when you put your kid in school for the first time and they come home. Right? So I said, what's
exactly,
your plan for
the
industry?
Exactly, I know.
That could be your next book.
It's
a spark in one of them, maybe.
You're giving me some good ideas here.
Call me anytime. Honestly, though, that's kind of what happened to our family. You know, we actually had locked down. My husband's in remission of cancer. I have hypersensitivity pneumonitis, which everybody knows. So I'm, like, allergic. Well, I just have issues, you know, with my lungs. Yeah. So, I mean, I was definitely scared of catching COVID. And, of course, we had a tour group that came through a week after we opened our store and got us all sick. And so I shut our store down for a month. But, honestly, I wonder if I had been out in the air and in the public places during that last couple years, if I'd have been as sick as what I was, if my husband would have been as sick as he, our whole family. But out of my family, I think 38 family members got COVID. Passed away, unfortunately. Yeah, that's a lot. Others in my family. Well, that was before the vaccine. So I think the vaccines do help. And I don't know where that's going to take us in the future. And, you know, I think the whole world is reliant on doctors like yourself. And what kind of things do people come to you with questions on allergies to the different vaccines? If you can talk about that, maybe you can't. If you can't, that's okay. But mm-hmm. is there certain general questions that people are coming to you with or concerns that they could be aware of?
Yeah, you know, I think there's just so much misinformation out there on the internet. So we all know that there's just so much misinformation, and people really need to look at what their sources are. You know, where is your information coming from? And a lot of the information on the internet is just somebody, you know, without experience or training, kind of giving their opinion on things. So we just have to really be careful and look at the source. But I agree with you. The vaccines have really changed the course of this pandemic and have, I think, in my opinion, saved many, many millions of lives. And I think we just have to just keep that in mind that, you know, a virus doesn't care about political angles or things like that. A virus is just going to act how a virus acts. So we need to really be careful about looking at the science behind it.
Very true. And I don't know about you, but we've certainly noticed that people are worn out from it. And the masking is almost, you know, Mayo has a very strict policy of wearing masks over there. So they're good there. And sometimes they leave them on when they come to our store. But, you know, we're scared even just being in our store. You know, what are we getting exposed to and all that? But we've noticed that they're just tired of it, you know, and they don't want to follow the mask rules. And I don't know if we get hit again as bad as we've been. That's going to be a pretty scary place. But I don't want to focus on all that. I want to get back to your book. You've got this beautiful book, and I want to get into the mind of Dr. Eric. Tell us a little bit about him, and without giving away the whole plot, just kind of a little synopsis of who he is and how he ties to this story.
Sure. So Dr. Eric Lindgren is really a brilliant scientist in the book. He's extremely intelligent, but he is also, unfortunately, has some psychopathic tendencies. So he is born kind of that typical psychopath, and he has, he has this brilliant mind, but he ends up using it for the wrong purposes. He gets himself into trouble and then basically in true kind of psychopath fashion doesn't care about the world, doesn't care about anyone else but himself, and then uses his ideas, his genetic research for the wrong reasons.
And at some point he hooks up with some other people who have another agenda. And I don't know. Yeah, tell us a little bit about the terrorists there that he hooks up with.
Yeah, so in desperation, Eric finds and hooks up with some fanatics, Islamic fanatics, that use what he has to kind of develop this virus. And so unfortunately, the circumstances, they do meet and they collaborate and make this virus that is that the Islamic extremists use to further their agenda with kind of against the infidels.
And is the Marburg virus, is that actually based on, is that just a made-up fictional virus, or is there some type of virus with that name?
No, yeah, the Marburg virus is an actual virus. It's not the virus used in the book, but Mallory does research on the Marburg virus in the book. So that's kind of, it's related to, it's a hemorrhagic fever virus like Ebola. So in the beginning mm-hmm. of the book, Mallory is doing it, she's doing research on it in this BioLevel 4 containment lab. So she's doing research on the Marburg virus. And that isn't the virus that is released in the book. So it's actually interesting because the virus released in the book is adenovirus. So adenovirus is a virus that causes the common cold. So we've all had it before in our lives. It doesn't cause a severe cold typically. It's just runny nose, a head cold, could cause a cough, that kind of thing. So it's a very just common virus, and he takes this virus in the lab and modifies it genetically. And he targets lymphocytes, and this affects if people, get the adenovirus with this new strain in it, it affects their lymphocytes and their immune system. So that's kind of the twist here. An adenovirus is something that's actually used in genetic engineering every day. It's a common virus, but the key difference is in real life, it's inactivated. So like a lot of vaccines and things that we use, they're inactivated vaccines, they're the inactivated virus portion, so it's not transmissible to others. It's not contagious. But in the book, instead of using the inactivated adenovirus as a vector or vehicle in this genetic engineering, they use a real live virus, if that makes sense.
it's a neat twist in the book there. And I think people are going to be pretty surprised when they read your book. And you have a very good ending, too, by the way. And I'm not going to give that part away, but I kind of, after I read it, I'm like, there's going to be a sequel. I mean, really, I did. I mean, it was just the one word. I'm like,
yeah.
Okay, there's a sequel. the last word, you just know. So I don't know if you planned it or just thought, I want to continue this on. But, yeah, I can see a million ways that you might go with that. So take us a little bit into your writing process. Like, are you a plotter? Do you know what you're going to write when you sit down, or how do you like to write?
Yeah, so I kind of the type A personality I am, I have everything kind of figured out before I write, and maybe that's also too because I'm new, I'm new in the writing world, but I really like to just plan and research and then have a really detailed outline. So I had that. I had every kind of major plot point in there, and I actually had researched how I wanted the ending to go. And it's funny because I really completed everything, when I wrote it stayed pretty much the same. I changed a few things based on my intuition and added a few things here and there, of course, but I pretty much had it all planned out beforehand.
When you are you using any specific software? Have you, I know you're new, but I mean, there's a million different software brands out there that you can use, Scrivener, Snowflake Method.
Yeah.
I don't know. There's some.
Yeah, no, I honestly, I opened up Microsoft Word and I had a blank slate there and I just, started. I wasn't really aware at that time of any. I've heard since then there's a lot of outline softwares you can do and things that kind of help you organize your outline, things like that. But I really wasn't aware of those at the time. So I just kind of winged it.
Jumped in. I write too, and I use Notepad all the time. I have all the software programs. But I honestly, my thoughts are just like one page. I just want to just do a big long line of things and then just go back and correct it. And then from there, I put it into different things. But believe it or not, I still use note cards. I don't know if you use note cards.
I do too. No, I do too.
That's funny. Yeah.
I think it's what you could I love the old note cards. I still use them even for this next book. I write down ideas and then you can flip through and it's really nice.
Yeah, no, I understand that process. It's actually kind of fun, and I don't know, and I think you should enter some contests with some of your, with this book for sure. I mean, you could get that into some pretty good contests and maybe win some awards with that. Are you, so when you were, you got your book finished, and I know that probably took an incredible amount of time. What was your process of getting and finding a publisher? That's what a lot of authors are, that'll be listening to this, you know, how did she find a publisher, and was that hard for you in this day and time, or did you decide you wanted to publish with a traditional versus self-publishing, or what were your thoughts on that?
Yeah, that's a great question, because it was a long process, and I just went into it totally naive, you know. But I actually finished Particles in the Air right before the COVID pandemic started.
So it's been
a long time coming. Yeah, like literally a few weeks before it started, I had my final draft done. So I first started out, I did my query letter, and I sent it out to various agents, and I did get a lot of interest from the agents. So I had maybe 5 full manuscript requests and things like that. But ultimately, a lot of people at that time, this is the start, again, the beginning of the COVID pandemic, and a lot of them said that they didn't know if America was ready to read about, you know, a type of pandemic or a virus. So I think actually it kind of hurt me in a way, but I think at this point, you know, people are ready to read about it again and kind of learn about viruses and different, you know, medical aspects of a medical thriller. So I think in the end it worked out, but it was a little frustrating. And then what I decided to do after that was I decided to go directly to the publishers. So I submitted it to maybe 10 different publishers at that time. And then I actually got quite a few offers right away, which were wonderful. And then I Zoomed with Bruce Bortz, who's the Bancroft Press publisher, and we just really hit it off. He just got the book. He was very enthusiastic about the book, and I had a really good feeling from him. So I ended up signing with him. So it ended up working out really well just to work directly with the publisher.
I think so, too. I mean, there's many ways to publish, and I've had several communications with Bruce. He's a very nice guy, and all the authors that I've worked with that are your co-author, colleagues, they all know him as well. So he's a good publisher to check out. And if you I've got to ask, is your book actually released right now, or when is that actually coming out to the public?
Yeah, so it's available for pre-order right now, and actually in the next few days, it's supposed to be officially available to be sent out. So the hardcover is available in just a few days. The audiobook is coming in about 8 weeks or so, and the Kindle or e-reader version should be available. I'm not sure if it's officially available today, but it should be in the next few days here.
That's wonderful. You can go to bancroftpress.com, or we'll be carrying it at Peacock Books. We can ship the book too, and you know, we'll get it in soon. I'll probably have you sign a few copies too, or when you come up to do a signing when you're up in Rochester, we'll just do it at that time and carry your book otherwise. So do check it out.
That's wonderful.
Do you have, give us your website real quick if you have that handy, and then we'll put that on the air here too.
Sure. It's www.jennapodjasek.com. So jennapodjasek.com. It's a tough one. But you can order directly from that website, and then you can also sign up for my newsletter and get, you know, new release information.
Wonderful. We've been talking with Jenna Podjasek, Dr. Mallory's creator, and Dr. Mallory Hayes' creator, and she's got a book out called Particles in the Air. Jenna, we really appreciate you being on the air with us today. I'll look forward to having you up in Rochester, Minnesota here doing a book signing when you get back up this way. And for more information, you can go to the Peacock Books art.com website, or you can go to Jenna's website for, like she said, the newsletter updates. Thank you so much, Jenna, and you have a super day.
Oh, it was great talking to you. Thank you so much.
You're so welcome. I'll look forward, and I'll be on your newsletter feed there so you can keep track of me that way too. But you're welcome to call me anytime or email me, of course. And I'll look forward to having you back on the show. Thanks for being my guest today.
Oh, thank you so much.
Goodbye now.
Okay, goodbye.